It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast, where security is hard, but listening is easy. That was one of my worst openings, I think, to date. I didn't really rehearse that, didn't think about it beforehand. It shows. Anyway, my name is Joey. I'm here as always. I'm like, oh, it's Len, buddy. What's going on over there? How you doing?
Pretty good. It's fine. You know what, Joey, before I go into it, the weather finally turned for the better. Oh. So I absolutely love it. And other than that, I mean, once that happens, everybody's mood just hopefully it also gets better. So yeah, how are things over there with you?
They're great, man. I did a little bit of yard work today. I got some more to do. I bought a sprinkler. I was saying to you guys earlier in the group chat, for the first time at my home, I've never had a sprinkler. I've been standing outside with my thumb over the hose, watering things that needed watering. So a true frugal move, but I feel pretty good about this. It's nice to finally have something that does it automatically. My dog, not so thrilled, but me and the wife, definitely happy about it. So Len, let's get into it. Before we start though, if you want to sign up for the Access of Easy newsletter, you can do that by going to accessofeasy.com, sign up, just takes your email, use a burner, doesn't matter. You get the email, you can participate in the forum, and you know, maybe most importantly, then you can sign up and play this sort of last week's quote game that we play at the beginning of every show. And last week's quote was, good people do not need laws to tell them to act responsibly, while bad people will find a way around the laws. That was by Plato. So way back playback there. That was guessed by three people, and Joe got it first. Congrats, Joe. That's not me. I didn't know that. I'm not much of a classics man myself. This week's quote, Len, you might be familiar with it. And if your train's on time, you can get to work by 9 and start your slaving job to get your pay. If you ever get annoyed, look at me. That's the wrong quote. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me go to the actual quote. The actual quote here. Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it is time to pause and reflect. And if you know the answer, can't Google it, of course, can't search it up, make sure you leave a comment, and the first person to get the correct answer gets their next domain hosting or renewal on the house. EasyDNS will cover the entire bill. So can't go wrong there. Len, lots to talk about today. You continue to be vindicated on the ChatGPT front again today. Let's see what's in the news.
Yeah, it's not really more of a ChatGPT thing. It's just acting like ChatGPT. So we have a company called NexusGuard, and I took a look at their mission statement, and it is, simplifying DDoS for communication service providers. Well, this company, NexusGuard, they found something interesting on Facebook or Meta, whatever we have to call them these days. I'm just out of touch. And this story is similar to one we talked about, I think last week or the week before, with respect to a ChatGPT ad on Facebook. And by clicking this ad, well, this gets you to a ChatGPT website lookalike. It's fake. It looks exactly like the real McCoy, but it's not. And it then gives the user an option to download a file which contains an EXE. And obviously, this is targeting Windows users and those that are just more likely to click on anything that may bring them to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And once the file is open, it makes changes to the registry with the intent of stealing information saved on the browser. And that's going to be saved emails, saved passwords, credit card information, and so forth. And this is very similar to a story that we talked about in the previous Access of Easy, but that was to do with a Redliner Stealer malware. And that also took credit card information and autocomplete data from the browser. But with respect to this, this is an ad that Facebook put on their site, on their network. And right, they're responsible for this. Their advertising vetting process ultimately is crap. If they're allowing this to get on there, who knows what else is getting on there that we just haven't yet seen. And at the end, really at the end, it's us. It's the end users like us that suffer the consequences, because as credit card information is stolen, ultimately the user was going to get reimbursed because that's the way the credit cards tend to work. But this money doesn't come for free. It's not a money printer. They have to make this money. And this comes from user fees. So all of us collectively are going to pay a little bit more for all this garbage that ends up on Facebook. And man, oh man, this just goes to show me, whenever people see anything with ChatGPT in it, people are willing to click anything right away. I don't care what it is. Mm. It's a flavor of the day, and a lot of malware software is going to continue to take advantage of this situation.
It's weird that, you mentioned it there. I'm glad you did. That Facebook, you know, there's probably a lot of stuff on Facebook that's misleading at the very least. I know if I, you know, I don't want to sort of jump companies here, but if I scroll through any number of feeds, Instagram included actually, which is a Meta product, there's a lot of advertising on there that's clearly fraudulent, or clearly, if not fraudulent, then intentionally misleading and misrepresenting the thing that they're selling or the website they're directing you to. ChatGPT, as you mentioned, the flavor of the week or the flavor of the month. Everybody's trying to get a look at this thing. It's not easy to use the OpenAI website unless you have a paid seat. So I think that this is an obvious, you know, or should have been an obvious red flag for Facebook. Now I'll ask you this. I don't think you have an answer off the top of your head, but I'd be curious to hear your thoughts anyways. What should the average person, you know, be expecting of a Facebook or a Twitter or an Instagram when it comes to advertising floors? Because to me, it looks like this is another example of something we talked about, like you mentioned last week or the week before, where it's targeting people who just want to use the internet in a sort of leisurely way. Maybe the elderly, I don't want to say elderly, it makes them sound older than they probably are, but maybe the baby boomer generation, or people who are less aware of some of these scams that are going on, people who are easily fooled. They should be able to use the internet without having to worry about this stuff. And I think that the responsibility of a company like Facebook extends to vetting ads of this nature. Surely if I put an ad lens selling anabolic steroids on Facebook, it would get flagged. I'm curious how this did not. Where do you think Facebook's responsibility sort of starts and ends with something like this?
They should be examining it right from the get-go before it goes on their platform. They should be taking a look to see if indeed there's anything on the resulting website that has an executable or anything along those lines. So they have to do a better job vetting this. And these are targeted ads too. So somebody that is going to be targeted, hypothetically anabolic steroids, it's not going to be somebody just looking at, say, a Linux type of forum or whatever.
Right.
They're going to be looking at a bodybuilding website or a bodybuilding forum. And then from there, it's going to be targeting those type of users looking that. So it ultimately, they're targeting the users that would be using ChatGPT. Who it is, I don't know. It's pretty sad that they have found their audience, and the audience, man, they're going to click away. They get the ad, click, click, click. I want to get the ChatGPT. The EXE shows up my desktop. Who cares? Click it, and it works. It's too bad. But Facebook, they got to do a much better job at vetting this from start to end. They can't get a clean slate and say you've done your job. No way. They got to be held to task.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some incident. I don't want to drag the story out too long, but there's going to be some incident where Facebook costs somebody a lot of money vis-a-vis an ad like this, or a link that's, you know, a link that contains an executable or something of that nature. It's only a matter of time as the number of people who are connected to these services continues to increase, the honeypot, as it were, continues to grow. And to your point, I never really thought about that when I was, you know, thinking about the story. You could target these ads to people who you know are going to be vulnerable. Let's target it to 60 plus. Let's target it to people who are, you know, making under a certain amount of money or whatever, right? Whatever that ad targeting availability is on Facebook, however you can do that. It's sad, man, because the internet is so important to day-to-day life, whether you're using it for a business or using it to stay in touch with your family or using it to, you know, see what's cool and hip and what's going on in memes and what's going on. You know, it's part of everyday life, and it's sad that people can get away with this. And Facebook, you know, a company that should have this kind of thing locked down already, they clearly do not. And it's not the first time we've talked about Facebook on this program either, which is even worse.
And something else you can't get away with is messing with Uncle Sam. And that takes us to our next story. And the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, they have warned Meta. Man, two Meta stories in a row. FTC warned Meta for the third time, that they failed to honor its own privacy practices. This is Meta's own privacy practices, not the ones imposed by the FTC. And this warning stems from Meta that was collecting data from users under the age of 18. And what did they do with this information? Well, like any other company, they simply monetized it, of course. And although the company indicates that they would not collect users' information if they were under the age of 18 from Facebook or VR products, they did so anyway. So they just disregarded their own rules, their own privacy practices. And in a previous ruling, Meta was ordered to pay $5 billion with a B in fines. That was in 2019 for breaking those very same rules. And this latest warning by the FTC, well, it helped drag down the shares of Meta by 2%. And the FTC have given Meta 30 days to respond to their findings. So the clock is ticking on them to make a move, but they still have several weeks of monetization they can still take advantage of. And after hearing this story and the last one, who has any faith with Meta products moving forward?
If you had replaced Meta with TikTok in this story, you would have had a congressional hearing, right? Targeting and data mining people under 18, targeting ads to them in a way that is, you know, in a way that inherently views them as vulnerable people who are unable to combat some of the practices, measures, and sort of, you know, methods of, you know, common internet advertising. I look at this story and the first thing I think is these guys are in the, you know, these guys are in everyone's pocket in Congress. This is a light warning, the third of this nature that they've had. I think that you have to look at this, and if you don't think that Meta is playing foul, I can't help you. We don't have anything that'll convince you after this story and the one before it. I think the important thing to remember here, Len, is that Facebook products are everywhere. You know, Instagram is a huge ad hub for companies that want to sell trinkets. I know I've bought stuff on Instagram. I'm guilty of that, and you know, I'm sure other people my age have as well. Facebook, of course, but the more important thing here to consider, what about WhatsApp?
I was just going to mention that. Yeah.
You know, so WhatsApp has everyone's messages, ages, phone numbers, locations. You know, it's quote unquote for people who are just listening and not watching, encrypted. But what is that worth when this is the kind of business practice that you see in other domains under the same umbrella? I don't know. What do you think?
It's got to be worth something. And I, you know what? I have never used, Instagram I used a little bit because of our show, but WhatsApp I've never touched. I don't even know what it looks like. So I'm still using my CB radio over here, but all the data that is, everybody seems to be using it from the very old to the very young. And they have to be monetizing, collecting that information. There's no way they're not. Given what's transpired here, three different warnings. Looks like they don't give a crap what's going on with that.
No.
Just to pay another fine and go from there. 2% loss in the stock, still make it up in the next little while.
Exactly. Because, it's like nothing, right?
Yeah. So they'll just brush it off. But anyways, let's keep moving on. Ireland has an interesting hate speech legislation that is being proposed. And Elon is talking about taking this country to task. And he has gone on record to call this proposed legislation a, quote, massive attack on freedom of speech, end quote. And he did this through a tweet he released in late April. The proposed law that has passed Ireland's lower house is now being looked at by the upper house. Now, each of those two houses have very Irish names. I can't even pronounce this, so I'm just going to leave it at that. And if all goes well, this bill can potentially become law later this year. This is a touchy subject because it toes the lines of free speech versus making hate speech a crime. And the way I'm looking at this, in very neutral stance, at least I appear myself to be neutral, each side of the arguments can be very good points. They can bring up very good points, but too much of each would be a bad thing, in my opinion. And proponents of the bill, they're saying that existing laws are not enough to prosecute hate speech or hate crime. And as I don't have boots on the ground, and I tried reading up as much as possible on this, it's hard for me to gauge which side of the argument is correct. But something concerning is potential overreach. And especially if it becomes too politically advantageous to encourage the courts to rule in a certain manner. This has always been the case. And if they could try to manipulate these rulings, these laws in a certain way, they could do so in whatever favor they want. But as a side point, every time Elon tweets out, it's like a newsworthy item. That's a lot of power that one person has, save an orange-skinned man that has a self-imposed ban on Twitter. But I think there's only two guys that have that amount of power just for one simple tweet.
Isn't it weird, Len, that every time we talk about governments trying to protect people from harmful, I'm like almost grinning saying it, harmful speech, that the thing that's always left out is that as soon as you start going down this road where certain things are harmful to say, you know, here in Canada, certain things are harmful to the culture, you're inviting that slope to get more and more slippery. And I maybe we disagree on this. It sounds like maybe we do. I am like as close to a free speech absolutist as I think you can get. I look at the stuff that goes on Twitter And while some of it is like incredibly foul and abrasive, rude, you know, there's of course things on there that are racist, anti-Semitic, all nature of awful, awful things that should never be uttered. The solution is not to, you know, go through the legal system to punish these people. The solution has to be that society shuns them in a way that forces these people to either get in line with things that are reasonable and objectively correct, or they're sort of shunned to these small groups and, you know, made to stay in their basements with their parents or whatever, right? Waiting for lasagna at the top of the stairs. The answer is not to throw in laws that have I think even governments would say like, they, you know, these are wide umbrellas, right? Here in Canada, we've talked about Bill, I think C-11 was the number. The thing is, when you start talking about protecting culture and things like hate speech, you know, sort of at first glance, no one wants to see something called hate speech online or in person or anywhere else. But as soon as you dig into it a little bit, hate speech becomes this thing that's a little, it's nebulous, right? It's hard to really pin down what exactly it is. Societal norms change and shift all the time. Something that was acceptable 10 years ago or 15 years ago may not be acceptable now. And it should be up to society to dictate those things through natural incentives and natural evolution of language, natural evolution of societal mores, not for some government to decide that this is not allowed to be uttered on the internet. That's not how this is supposed to work. We've talked many times about how, you know, governments by their very nature, and especially because most first world governments are just enormous. The idea that these bodies can pivot and keep up with and have the agility to stay in tune with the needs of their societies and the desires of their societies, you know, that in the most generous interpretation is very difficult. In the least generous, they use that to their advantage to keep things status quo to their benefit. And so I look at this stuff and I can't personally think of a reason why anyone would support something like this.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say because, again, without me knowing the laws and the lay of the land over there and how weak the laws exist in terms of prosecuting people, I know that you're not in favor of that, but I just want to take more data before I can make a decision one way or another. And I just, in my opinion, too much of one, too much of the other is just too much of anything. I just want to see more of a balanced approach. But move on, Joey. Meta. This is the first time they've three times.
Tic-tac-toe, baby. Let's go.
Is this a strikeout, a trifecta? I don't know how to define this, but man, oh, man. It has been discovered that three separate threat actors have made a crap load of fake accounts on Facebook and Instagram. And this was for the purpose of targeting people in South Asia. And they were using the practice of social engineering to try to make people fall into clicking links that resulted in malware being installed on their computer. And I guess this is slightly better than advertising the malware. We talked a little, but not much better than that. And while, you know, there's these fake accounts, I'm wondering how many of them were of the Asian variety, just like we see all over Twitter asking us how our trade is going. I can tell you right now, my trade is going amazing. Thanks for asking. The target of these attacks apparently was the military personnel in Pakistan and India, and they were able to trick them with cloud storage and entertainment apps. So that was what they were selling or trying to shield to these people when they're clicking away. And remember, for those who love cloud services, the computer belongs to somebody else. You'll compute nothing and be happy. And all this was done with the help of to help out Palestinian resistance and also stir up trouble in Bahrain. So it's very interesting that those were the sources, at least what they're trying to do over there. But this type of activity, it's going to be so difficult to stop, as there's so many gullible people out there who will just click away at the first profile they see of an Asian woman that's scantily clad. So yeah, it's too bad that people are still falling this trick. It's 2023, but after a generation of using computers, you think people would smarten up, but apparently not. They're still clicking away. They don't care. And yeah, shame on you, Meta. This third time you're in a week, this story this week. It's too bad.
I can't believe this. Like, how I didn't have three stories worth of negative Meta commentary in the hopper. But if we're going down this road, you know, again, if it feels to me, Len, is the Facebook user base entering into Nigerian prince territory here?
Could be. And it's not just the users themselves. It's the platform. Remember, they were having ads on their platform. So it's the whole thing is an absolute joke. Did their stock go down 2% today after reading this? I want to take a look to see what the stock price is.
I haven't looked. I did see that Mark Zuckerberg is like tweeting pictures of him training Brazilian jiu-jitsu, though. Mm-hmm. So good for him, I guess. I mean, I get your company is sort of floundering. It's rudderless and, you know, losing market share. But hey, at least... remember they had that? This is unrelated to the news story, but I don't have anything else to say about this story. Like, if you want to think about what Meta is doing from a cybersecurity point of view, look no further than the press release they had, you know, sometime in 2022 about how they just added arms and legs to their metaverse avatars. You know, that was like a big deal for them. Like, imagine.
You know what? I wasn't even aware that's the case. Like, is that you know what? Now that I know that, I'm gonna sign up to.
Listen, this is a note for the editors. Cut out the negative Meta stories because we forgot actually about the arms and legs for the avatars, and so we want to just keep them in a good light here for the listeners.
Let's move on. Let's talk about North Korea, and they're back at it again. And this is after Microsoft made it hard. They made it much more difficult for malware enthusiasts out there to do business. Microsoft recently restricted macros by default, and this closed the door for malware on recently installed or updated Microsoft software such as Word. But always resourceful, North Korea's threat group known as APT-37, they have switched to shortcut files known as LNK. When extracting certain PowerShell scripts, the document includes LNK links, and when opened, it will open up a can of worms that should never have been opened. Some users were duped by simply opening up a valid PDF using a South Korean Hangul word processor, and that's HWP. Just another day and just another attack vector that was found, and I wonder if the North Korean attackers are trying to get their hands on some of the K-pop songs. That is, this might be the only way they could do so with the restrictions going on in North Korea. So nothing else really to say about this. Just be very careful with what you're opening, even if you're using a South Korean Hangul word processor software.
As you know, Microsoft has a significant share of OpenAI, and you may be aware of this or not, but OpenAI and you know, AI generally has been making pretty quality new content for several popular artists, Drake and others. Maybe this is a play to get ahead of the inevitable K-pop AI wave. Could it be?
The North Korean version. The end.
Maybe. And yeah. Is it fair to say, Len, that like, again, I feel like you and me, we talk about this stuff fairly often, whether it's for this show or for the Bitcoin show, and security is a big focus. Man, it's getting to the point now, I think, for even the sort of average retail user. Do you need two computers if you're an average retail user? One to access the internet, do your daily driving, and then one for things like banking, Bitcoin, work-related items. You know, you and me, like this laptop is like my podcasting, you know, it streams stuff and basically that's it. Like, do you need dedicated machines in each house now? Can you risk, if you're a family of four, having your banking information saved in Chrome on the same computer that your kids are using torrents on? Is that, I don't even know if torrents are still a thing. Probably not. I'm dating myself here.
But, well, no, they still are.
So is it reasonable to say that like most families now, especially with the low cost of computing, two machines in the house? Yay, nay.
Yeah, at think? Least.
In my getting opinion, close, right? I think you're getting close.
Yeah. Well, those number one, those cheap computers, you don't know what's included on there because the hardware and sometimes the software too, it's closed sourced. So, and there's no way to change any of that. And you're kind of at the mercy, whatever's in there. But
like, not to cut you off here, but because I know you're going to say something that's relevant to this. If you look at this article here on Dark Reading, over the past year, attackers have used LNK files, the link files, to deliver malware such as Emotet, IcedID, QuackBot, great names as always. McAfee and others have noted the attacks have involved threat actors using spam, phishing emails, and malicious URLs. That's standard stuff.
Yeah, it's old school.
You know what I mean? That's it.
Yeah, but you should have more than one computer. And the way I believe it to be, and this might be, obviously, you got to have money to do this. Every person in the house should have their own computer. Mm. And that way you segregate everything. And that way you could control whatever data is being controlled.
Then you're talking network protections, right? In-house network protections and all that. It's a bit of an undertaking, maybe more than the average like Costco laptop shopper is looking to take on, right? But this is the world we live in now, it seems.
Yeah, we further get everything digitized and all our information is saved on some sort of cloud, and it's easily accessible if it, once you have the door open just a little bit, and then, well, at that point, you're clicking away at some ad on Facebook, and your ChatGPT is getting installed with some EXE.
And fake GPT, NKGPT, whatever it
is. And then you listen to NK pop music, and it's all downhill from there. So,
oh, man. That's all we got. That's it. That's Access of Easy number 297. Len, I think I'm going to listen to Bachman Turner Overdrive and use my new sprinkler. What are you going to do after this?
I'm going to maybe play some Splatoon or maybe Breath of the Wild, one or the other.
Nice. Okay. God bless everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.